Welcome to Ruby Rider's Pegging Paradise podcast number 148 on November 20th, 2016. Changing the world one ass at a time. So, okay, let's talk a little bit about all the shit that's happened since the last time I did a podcast, which is why I haven't done a podcast in a while. I really wish I could change the world one ass at a time after this election, I tell you. Trump getting elected threw me into a bit of despair and depression, as it did many, many Americans. I am kind of horrified, and, you know, I just listened to Dan Savage's first podcast after the election. It's a really good podcast to listen to if you are feeling similarly. It's podcast number 525. And like Dan Savage, I have, since the election, kind of wallowed, just like he described. Interestingly enough, I ate whatever I wanted, I drank whatever I wanted, I watched whatever I wanted, and it certainly wasn't the news. It felt really difficult to get going again. I have had a sense of futility, and I'm basically horrified that our country has elected Donald Trump. I mean, how could there possibly be that many people who were willing to overlook the mountain of disgusting, dishonest, racist, xenophobic, and misogynistic things about this man to vote for him? So as a result, my faith in the general goodness of the American people just kind of took a hit like with a sword to the jugular. And walking around in the world now feels a little bit different. And I've taken a long look at how I feel now after the election. And it's interesting on a number of levels, because basically, I don't feel as safe walking around in the world. And I don't feel as safe in a way that's probably a mere echo compared to the way people of color, LGBTQ people, and all minorities feel every day walking around in the world. I feel like that person standing next to me in line at the grocery market might have voted for Trump, and they might have a gun in their car, and they might be quite ready to violently declare their right to hate and abuse any marginalized group of people they want to, including women, which is the only group of marginalized people I belong to. But you know, that's just a tiny, tiny taste of what all of these marginalized groups and discriminated against groups go through every single day. Every single day walking around in the world, they face the constant threat of abuse and discrimination, of racism, just for being. And I, as a cisgendered white woman, will never experience that level of constant threat. Not only from the people around me, like the hypothetical guy at the supermarket, but from the very people who are supposed to protect us all, the police. We have seen up close and personal, with all the killings of the black people, about what this is like for them. And they have been living with this for a long time. Cell phones and the internet have finally shown the rest of us who walk around the world with privilege, me included, the privilege accorded to us simply because of the color of our skin, what people of color, or what different people, LGBTQ people, Muslim people, whether it's the color of your skin, the choice of your religion, or the choice of your sexual partner, or the choice of your gender, all of those people, what they fear every single day walking around. And you know what? I felt like people were finally starting to wake up to the inherent abuse and discrimination in our police forces, especially against people of color, because that was in our faces, up close and personal. And then the country elects Trump? What the fuck, people? What the fuck? I mean, I'm disheartened. I'm disappointed, and I'm disgusted that so many of you could place whatever priority you did above basic respect for another human being to vote for this man. Basic respect for another human being regardless of color, gender, or sexual orientation. I mean, that basic respect is what keeps our country together. What keeps our country together is treating each other with respect and kindness. And granted, we still had a long way to go in that regard, but voting for Trump is a backslide of gigantic proportions, horrifying proportions. So, okay, how can I feel better? How can you all feel better? What do I have to offer you in that regard? Well, Hillary Clinton won the popular vote. Actually, by millions of votes, plural, millions. So that's one thing. The Electoral College definitely failed us this time and does seem to be rather obsolete. And I'm definitely for getting rid of the Electoral College. But moving along from there, what can we do? Well, what can I do? I can, first off, pick myself up off the couch where I wallowed for a while, too long, for those of you waiting for a podcast, waiting to hear from me, I know, and just keep going, keep fighting. Know that the majority of people actually voted for Hillary. We are the majority, those who wanted Hillary as president. But the next step requires action. The next step is to speak up when you see a person being discriminated against or treated badly. Film it with your camera, protest, get involved with groups of people that are pushing back against the horrible. For example, just this morning I got an email from an organization called boldprogressives.org, and I'm on their email list, and so they have an action campaign. And these days, you know how it is, they make it very, very easy for you to just click and sign things and help them out. So here's what I did. I signed a letter that's being sent to all the senators, asking them to sign on to Senator Jeff Merkley's letter that's going to be delivered to Donald Trump, denouncing his selection of Steve Bannon, the racist, white supremacist, domestic abuser, anti-Semitic asshole that he plans on putting in place as his White House chief strategist. Only 10 senators have signed on to this letter so far. So not only did I sign a letter to all the senators saying, please sign on to Senator Jeff Merkley's letter, but I also took the time to call the offices of both Senator Feinstein and Senator Boxer, my two senators here in California, and ask them to sign on to the letter. It's not as scary as you would think. Those phone calls take just a minute. So even in the smallest ways, if you can do something, do it. If you can protest, go protest. If you can make those phone calls, make the phone calls. If you can take the time to sign those online petitions, sign them. This is where our voices get heard, and it's so important now more than ever to have our voices heard. The other thing you can do is put your money where your mouth is. Put your money where your heart is. You can donate to people who are doing good work. For example, the Act Blue people. They fund a whole range of efforts, including Senator Warren's efforts, including the boldprogressives.org that I just told you about. They do good work. And you can, most importantly, in my opinion anyway, most importantly, make a donation to the ACLU. The ACLU has been there through thick and thin, fighting for human rights for us all these years. I've been a card-carrying member, as they say, of the ACLU for a long time. American Civil Liberties Union is going to be needed now more than ever. They're going to need funds to fight all of these court cases that spring up again and again and again from the shenanigans that this idiot president is proposing to pull. So what I've done is signed on to ACLU for a monthly donation. Every single month, I'm giving them a small amount of money. The other thing I did was I sent a donation to Planned Parenthood, because goodness knows they can use all the help they can get right now in the face of a president for 4 years who's pretty anti-Planned Parenthood. And not only that, but a Republican Senate, House, and soon Supreme Court. So I sent them some money, but I sent it in an interesting way. I sent it in the name of Governor Mike Pence, our new vice president. And what ends up happening is Governor Mike Pence, now Vice President Mike Pence, gets a thank you letter from Planned Parenthood for his donation. And all you have to do is fill in the address of where to send it to. I'm going to put that in my Linkorama on my blog. And please feel free to follow in suit, because I think this is one way that we can show them, no, we're not going to stand for this. We are going to uphold all the things that we fought so hard for, and we are going to fight hard to keep them in place while you do perhaps everything you can to deconstruct them. So yeah, get up and fight, people. Take a deep breath and stop wallowing, if you were wallowing like I did, because I certainly was wallowing. And fight. Fight for what we know is right. And we will survive these 4 years, because this too shall pass. And hopefully, we will survive these 4 years with most of what we fought for still intact. But that's what we need to do for the next 4 years, is fight, fight, fight. Make your voice heard as often as you can, whether it's a phone call, a letter, an email, everything. Just do it. Okay, and now, moving on from there, let's get back to work here, talking about my favorite subject, pegging. First of all, let me thank some new patrons. The first one is Matt, who actually signed up as my patron to give me $100 a month. Matt, I am speechless and so very thankful and grateful. Thank you so much for your pledge. And then I have a pledge from Sir Pegs-a-Lot. That's how he wanted to be identified. I love the things you people are choosing. Who is my patron for $3 a month. Thank you so much, Sir Pegs-a-Lot. And then I have one from Fruitmig, F-R-O-O-T-M-I-G, Fruitmig, has also signed on to give me $3 a month. Thank you so much for your generous help. Pegging Paradise exists partly because of your donations. Really, really helps me focus more on this and do everything I can to try and spread the word about pegging in this world. So, okay. And now I have some good news. There is a website called kinkly.com, and every year they run a contest of the top 100 sex blogging superheroes. And I think they started it in 2012 or 13. And the first time, I think I was number 28. And then the second time, I didn't put much effort to the voting, and so I was number 65. And I've kind of hadn't paid too much attention after I was on the list the first couple of times. I think I've been on the list each year, but this time I put some effort into it, because if there's one thing I excel at, it's social media. So I asked all of you out there, on my blog, on Facebook, on Reddit, and on FetLife, to just go and click that button and vote for me, and you did. Thank you so much. Really appreciate your support. You didn't need to register anything. Just a click of a button. It was awesome and easy. So this year, kinkly.com did something different. They had the top 100 sex bloggers, and they also had other categories to try and showcase some people who don't often get to be in the limelight. And their other categories included new sex blogs, erotica blogs, sex toy review blogs, sex blogs by and for men, and Reader's Choice Awards. I actually came in as number 5 on the general list of the top 100 sex blogging superheroes. Holy crap! I'm so proud and so grateful and thankful of you for your support. And in the Reader's Choice Awards, I came in number 3 on the list of 10, because each of those subcategories has a list of 10. I was number 3 in the Reader's Choice Awards. I'm really humbled and grateful and thankful and just kind of floored. Thank you. So when I investigated these awards a little bit, because there's usually discussions from people in the comment section when they announce it, and one person was complaining about the method they use for selection, and somebody from kinkly.com answered and clarified exactly how they do the selection. Because here I was thinking, okay, I'm really good at social media. I rallied all my votes. I did a good job of it. And you guys all were so sweet and voted for me and awesome. This shows that I'm really good at social media and that I have a lot of fans who really value what I do. So I thought it was all about the votes, right? Well, it was straight votes in the Reader's Choice section. So that being number 3 on the list of 10, that was the Reader's Choice Awards. That was straight votes. But the number 5 on the general list, only one of the items that they took into consideration was votes. And then they looked at a bunch of other things. And so it was their determination that I belonged in the number 5 position on the general list. And so, wow, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you to everyone involved. Thank you to kinkly.com. And what I'd really recommend is that you go to kinkly.com. There'll be a link in my Linkorama. And check out those top 100 sex blogging superheroes. And also the subcategories, because there is a wealth of really cool stuff in this list. So if you're ever looking for something, you know, when I do my little wallowing, which hopefully will not happen again for a long time, and you're jonesing for something to read or something to listen to, wow, just go to kinkly.com and start checking it out, because there's some way cool stuff there. Now, off to your emails. Just to preface, I'm 21, a male by birth, and am decently new to all of this for about a year. I have come across a problem which prevents me from further experimenting with anal play and pegging. I'm having trouble using larger dildos for fear that I'm going to hurt my butt. To give you all the details requires a bit of backstory, part of which is a bit gross, so hopefully you can bear with me. Anyway, when I was 17, before any of this, I was taking a large poop and suddenly I felt a large pain in my butt. I bled a little bit and now 85% of the time I poop it feels thorny. I'm now 21, and this still continues. Similarly, I am able to use small dildos and stick a few fingers up my butt, but sometimes it hurts and continues to burn slash severely itch after I take them out. Medium dildos hurt, and I don't even want to think about bigger stuff. I went to the doctor and asked about it, the pain during pooping. I later mentioned the anal play, mostly because I'm not 100% comfortable with it yet. I told her I might have hemorrhoids. She checked and said this was not the case. I mentioned it was very annoying. I wanted it to go away, and she did an anoscope exam. She said I might have an anal fissure, but didn't really see much. She told me to just drink more water and take Miralax, which I have been, but haven't noticed a huge improvement. There seems to be improvement, though. I plan to go back, but I don't know if there's really any more they can do. She said that if it didn't help, there was medication, but I don't know. I'm also not sure if she might be a conservative doctor, and I need to find a better one, as she might never treat me for what I'm asking for. Is that even a thing that happens? It's been a couple of months, but I'm scared. I don't know if I'll be able to actually participate in pegging. I'm scared that it might cause more harm to me than before. Is there any way I can safely ease into it without hurting myself? Is there a chance it'll never feel good again? Are there other people that have a similar problem that have found solutions? Thanks for taking the time to read this. And he signs it, Sighs Softly. Oh, Sighs Softly. Goodness. Okay, first of all, one of the things that popped up in my head as I was reading your description of burning and severe itching. So sometimes you can get that reaction from a toxic toy or from a lube that has ingredients to it that you're allergic to or that don't work well with your body. So I'm going to put a link for you to read about toxic toys. You should be using nothing but 100% silicone toys so that you can eliminate that possibility of it being something that your body is reacting to because it's a toxic toy. There are a number of different possibilities in the toy world that could be bad for you, okay, and that could be causing this reaction. So first, eliminate that possibility, but at the same time, eliminate the possibility that it is lube. Now, the lube question becomes a little bit more tricky because even the very, very best lubes that virtually have no ingredients that anybody is ever allergic to occasionally have a person who reacts to it. So I would first try coconut oil because nobody's allergic to coconut oil that I know of, unless you know that you're allergic to coconuts. And that is something that will allow you to experience the toy and a decent enough lube to where you can find out if that may be part of the problem. I know that there's that feeling inside still. The feeling inside might be from not a good enough lube. The feeling inside might be from the lube. The feeling inside might be from the toy. So when you talk about the burning and itching, that's the thing that I concentrate on. The thorny inside is that feeling I'm talking about as well. It could be aggravated by a bad toy or bad lube and your body reacting to it. And those are the things that I think you should check first. If you check these things and it solves the problem, then awesome. You don't need to go to another doctor. You did mention that drinking more water and taking the Miralax, which I am assuming is a fiber type of laxative that aids in bowel movements, has provided some improvement. So definitely still stick with that. And you also asked that she might be a really conservative doctor and you need to find a better one because she's never going to treat you for what you're asking for. You know, that's a difficult question for me to answer. I think that using your gut and asking her flat out, you know, is anal play something that you disagree with? Are you comfortable with that? Should I find a different doctor and just throw it in her face if that's something that you think is an issue? And see what her reaction is. Hopefully you won't have to get to that point. And the other thing that I wanted to mention is you don't ever have to get to medium dildos or bigger ones. You really don't. You can enjoy pegging provided that you find the formula that makes it a comfortable thing. Not just a comfortable thing, but an enjoyable thing. When you find the formula that works for that, trying these different things, then you never have to go to a medium-sized dildo. You can always use a small one. And there's a really small one that's just like an inch in diameter that we offer through enticeme.com. I'll put the link for that. I believe it's called the Velvet. And it's really tiny. So know that you never have to work up to a bigger size if you don't want to. I mean, it's not like this competition or a goal that you should always be seeking. I remember seeing a video, and there was three Asian women and an Asian man laying on his back, and one of the women was fucking him with this tiny, teeny little dildo. I mean, it was like the size of a finger, and it wasn't very long, but she knew how to work that thing. And she had him coming hands-free. It doesn't have to be big. You can find amazing amounts of pleasure from something really small, and a lot of men do. So don't think that you have to work up to medium or big, because it's not necessary if your body doesn't want to go there. If you try all of these things and nothing changes, then I would go back to either that doctor or just choose another one. I mean, if you don't want to go back to that doctor and have the face-to-face, I totally get it, and just get a second opinion and tell them right off the bat, look, I am into anal play. I would really like to be able to experience this thing that I want to do, so I would like some help with that, and be totally upfront with it right off the bat. Your doctor is there to help you, and your doctor can only really help you if they know 100% where you're coming from and what you want and the goal that you're looking for. So although I know it's really uncomfortable, take a deep breath, let go of that embarrassment, let go of that shame, and let them know what's happening and tell them what you really would like to do. Because that's the only way that they can get you there. And I welcome anyone who is listening who has had a similar problem to write in, call in, and let us know if you have found any kind of solutions to this, if you have experienced something that Sighs Softly has. We would love to hear what solution you have found. So let us know how it goes. Good luck with all that. And thanks for writing in. And another email. I must be the luckiest guy there is, except for the husband we swing with. That's an interesting first sentence. My wife has been pegging me for a couple of years now, off and on. She started doing it at my request, but never really understood why I liked it, or if deep down I was gay. Then your episode, I forget the number, for the ladies, came out. She listened to it and has been more willing to peg me ever since. And all you people listening, that is podcast number 112. We have since gotten into the swinging lifestyle and have settled in with another couple. We discovered he had been enjoying being pegged by his wife for some time also. So to make a long story short, tonight the girls have told us they are switching partners, and his wife will be pegging me, and my wife will peg him. We have also been exploring other kinks as a foursome. I am learning to be the dom of the girls. He has no interest in DS, but loves to watch and offer suggestions now and then. We have started to learn rope. So the interesting thing about this letter, I love receiving it and the story and how excited you sound. I love that podcast number 112 really helped you out and helped your wife open up more to the idea, and that you all sound like you're having such a good time. But what cracks me up about the letter is that it stops right there. We have started to learn rope. Boom. I mean, there's no period. There's no nothing. There's no wrap up. It's almost as if they arrived and he went to go do the rope, you know? So thank you for writing in. This was a delight to receive. I'm glad you're having such a good time. All right. Here is a Facebook private message that I received. Hi, Ruby. I am a pegging virgin and looking for a mature woman. But all I have been able to find are those women dominatrixes in these websites that want to degrade, berate, torture, and insult me, which I will not stand for. Can you help me in my search? And the interesting thing about this letter is that degrade, berate, torture, and insult me, me is capital, which I will not stand for. Can you help me in my search? My is capital. I'm not sure why that's interesting, but it is. So here's the deal about looking for someone to peg you. Looking for someone to peg you without wanting a relationship is like asking a woman to be a fetish delivery service. There are ways it can happen. I have detailed the ways that it can happen. I have also detailed the reasons why it's not likely to happen. And all of those things I wrote about it are under the tab on my website, New to Pegging, and then Men. So the drop-down New to Pegging has Men. And so you click on Men, and then you'll find a title of Where Can I Find a Woman to Peg Me? And this is also a tag on my website. And these are all the things that I've written about it. I need a woman to peg me, strap on before the woman, intimacy and pegging, vanilla to pegger, one man story, the magic formula, the case for a pro, podcast, he went to the pro, interview, podcast to the pro again, interview. The epic fail of pegging ads, approaching her about pegging. I'm scared to tell my partner about it. So see, I've written quite a bit about where can I find a woman to peg me. So one of the avenues about where can I find a woman to peg me is the decision to go find a professional and why that might be a good choice for some guys. If this is something that you've decided you would like to do, then I'm really not up on the latest places to find a professional. I know that Backpage.com works for some people. When you interact with these professionals, you just need to be very, very clear about what you want and have good communication and negotiation before you get to the point of going to see them. You might want to ask, even if everything they have on their ad is about the dominance and submission and the BDSM type of stuff, if they do any kind of sensual play at all, it's always worth an ask. But as far as where to find them, really, Backpage is the only thing I know. I know there are other websites and things, but they've all taken quite a hit recently with the anti-prostitution movement that has been successful in shutting quite a few of them down. I know that there's been some discussions on Reddit about this, reddit.com. It's a big forum board that talks about anything and everything. And there's been some discussions about where the best place is to find them, how to find them the best. So do your research there, because that is crowdsourcing in its very best form, is reddit.com. So go ahead and check the Reddit boards out for more information. So if that's what you're looking for, that's what I would recommend. Thank you for writing in, and good luck. Let us know how it goes. Next, yay, pegging celebration time. Dear Ruby, my husband and I lost our virginity together when we started our relationship about 10 years ago. We had a healthy relationship and pretty regular but basic sex life. We played around a little getting to know each other, and he would give me anal, which I loved. A few years in, we purchased a cheap, nasty strap-on and harness to try on him. We used it twice, about a month apart, and after each time, I cried and felt disgusted. I couldn't handle that my partner wanted me to have a penis. I had all these questions, but didn't know how to address any of them. I thought he was gay, or was going to turn gay. I cried to my friend about it, without asking him if I could talk about it. I felt like we were weird for doing it. And the smell of the toy, it made me physically sick. I felt like I couldn't wash it off me for days, no matter what I tried, which I now know is from using a toxic toy. Every time I smelt it on me, it reminded me of how bad the whole experience was. We didn't really discuss it with each other, but I just told him never again. And then I never really thought about it again until while on our honeymoon, about a year ago, he asked me if I would consider using a strap-on on him again. I was shocked and instantly thought back to when we had done it the first times. I didn't want to go down that path again, but I sat back and listened to what he had to say. He told me that he had always wanted to do it again, but didn't want to upset me. He told me about finding your pages online, and said there was a lot of information on there that he would like me to read. He then said, if I felt comfortable, he would like to listen to the podcasts, and like me to as well. Lucky for him, I'm a pretty open-minded person, and before long I found myself using headphones while making the kids breakfast, just so I could finish the podcast, and it was safe to say I was addicted to them. The information I found in them was so easy to listen to and made so much sense. They taught me that the first two times we did pretty much everything wrong, and no wonder it didn't work well. It opened up a whole new level of trust and openness within us. Our relationship seriously got stronger and better than ever. Before long, I just had to try it, even if I was really worried about the whole thing again. While he was at work, I got out the old strap-on and harness, and the smell hit me. It made me feel sick again. I then sat on the bed thinking, I need to do this for him. So I stood in front of the mirror and took it all in. I can do this, I thought. I put it on and looked down. I actually felt okay about it other than the smell, and decided that I was going to do it. but knew we needed to start back slowly. Together we would discuss the podcasts we had listened to that day and what we liked the sound of. We decided that we needed to purchase some new items to make our pegging experience better and safer. We purchased gloves, a butt plug, anal beads, and a new high-quality flare-based dildo, along with a couple of extra bottles of lube. Before long, we started moving from a finger to the flare-based dildo and just openly experimented with each other and talked about what we wanted. We then used the old harness with the flare-based, and it worked fine, but was really not that comfortable. I found that I was wanting to experiment more than my husband was, and that I had many kinks I wanted to try. I had always just shut myself down, thinking that I was way too out there, just a fantasy, and that he would never be in on it. Well, I was wrong again. Pegging, anal stimulation, light spanking, switching dominant behavior, and general ass play has become a regular for both of us now, and I love it. We are learning together and making each other orgasm in ways we never knew we could. We then purchased a Fuse Tango and ordered a Jacques harness. The harness took 3 months to arrive, so in the meantime, we made do with the cheap harness and thought we were doing okay until last week the Jacques harness arrived. Oh my God! I put it on and instantly wanted to wear it all day. It was amazing, so comfortable, and held the Tango in perfectly. It took a lot of strength to not tell my husband, who was away for work, and wait to surprise him with it. That night came as soon as he got home. He walked into the bedroom to see me standing in front of the mirror, strapped up and ready to go. The night was amazing, and buying good quality definitely helped, which we would never have known where to start if it wasn't for your amazingly detailed website. Yes, we need to practice more. Yes, I need to feel more confident. And yes, we have a long way to go. But as he keeps telling me, we have all the time in the world, and I don't need to push it to happen any more quickly. Just enjoy it along the way. I just want to add that by my husband taking it slowly, damn, he waited 7 years before bringing it back up, and making sure I felt as special and loved as possible, by answering every question I had or pointing me in the right direction, and then by not freaking out when I jumped at it and pushed for it to happen as soon as I got him alone, made it a very enjoyable experience, and I thank you, Ruby, for helping both of us to understand each other and for strengthening our sex life and relationship. I never thought that this could possibly be so rewarding and beneficial to our overall relationship and happiness. We are constantly experimenting more, and I couldn't be more in love with him. He shows me he feels the same when he collapses in my arms and just wants to be held while he falls asleep. Thank you from the virgins to peggers together. I am more than happy to answer any questions you or listeners have, or ask my husband if you're interested in the other side of the story. He might even write something once he knows I've written in. Oh, I absolutely had to play the music for you two because you rediscovered pegging. And I love these stories about, well, I don't love the part about how it was horrible at first, but the finding it again is so awesome. And knowing that you can feel that strongly about something and then do a flip side once you're presented with not only the right information, but you have the right equipment as well. I absolutely commend you for being open-minded. After that experience, you've described it rather vividly, the first experience and how awful it was. I'm really impressed with your open-mindedness to try it again. So if I in any way helped from the things I wrote, I'm so happy for both of you, because you sound like you are off and running to a much more open sexual relationship, open about your desires, open about experimenting, and just enjoying each other so much more. So yes, I am really happy for you both. Thank you so much for writing in, and keep on having fun with that. Goodness.
Do you fantasize about having a sexier, more satisfying life? Entice Me is devoted to teaching men and women about positive, pleasure-focused approaches to sexuality. Whether you're spicing it up in the bedroom with your partner, planning a private retreat, or looking to just feel sexier, Entice Me will help fulfill your desires. Entice Me works with your needs to make positive changes in your life, in and out of the bedroom. Entice Me offers an award-winning, luxury line of ultra-fashionable, sophisticated haute toys and pleasure objects, which are of the highest quality, with in-home education, demonstrations, and discreet shopping, you'll have the time of your life spicing up your sex life. So what are you waiting for? Visit enticeme.com for more information about our products and services, or simply call 714-386-9684. That's 714-386-9684. Entice Me, making it a sexier world.
Okay, another letter. Hi there. Please excuse my mailing you directly. The main reason for this will become clear, and it's fairly innocent, honestly. I listened with great interest to one of your recent podcasts, which inadvertently seemed to feature many stories involving chastity. I have posted on your blog and forum, as Scott, my lover, is Missy, we have recently been exploring the notion of tease and delay, or orgasm control. I read voraciously and have tried to read as much as I can about orgasm control, whilst simultaneously being reluctant to learn about chastity in cages. Why? I don't know. Just the day before I listened to your podcast, which featured the chastity letters, I woke up and had a moment of realization. Suddenly the notion of chastity made a little bit more sense. I was interested. If Missy already controlled my release, maybe the physicality of a cage would make it more concrete. She was in charge, and I was submitting. The more I read through, the more I became nervous about the notion of topping from the bottom. Yes, I wanted to submit to Missy, but I didn't want to insist on something. I recognized that would then cease to be true submission. To me, it's a declaration of my commitment to my love. I approached the topic of my newfound interest openly. This in itself was a wonderful experience. Missy was open and interested. It was something to explore. This past weekend saw an anniversary for Missy and I. As a couple, we researched and selected my cage a few weeks ago. I'd agreed to tell her when it had been delivered. We're in a long-distance relationship, so it's still essentially the honor system. But we hoped that Missy would enjoy the physical nature of our new play. After the cage was in my possession, I let her know, then suggested that I not mention it again. The ball was in her court, and I would await instruction. Now here's the part I love about how Missy sees it. It negates the topping from the bottom dilemma. She will not only control my release from my cage, but also the times when she chooses to have me wear it. When I'm not caged, she is still in control of my release. The cage itself is for her enjoyment, not mine. I love the elegance in this. We're still experimenting. She has suggested that she will enjoy having me wear it this weekend, as I have a friend's wedding reception to attend. Missy and I get to see each other in person in a few weeks' time. I'm taking my cage with me. I wonder if there's any advice you could give Missy and I as regards to pegging whilst caged. I know she likes this idea, but I'm nervous about it. It's mainly the idea of my cock's restriction affecting the experience. Kind regards, Scott. So I did respond to this via email, and here's what I wrote Scott. The dance of dominance and submission is interesting. I encourage people to not take it as black and white, where you can't mention a longing for anything, lest you be seen as topping from the bottom. I like the way you handled it, expressing interest, choosing equipment together, and then leaving it up to her regarding timing and method of implementation. Nice. So now, to your question, I wonder if there's any advice you could give Missy and I as regards to pegging whilst caged. More information for you, if you have not come across it already, is a blog post on my Pegging Paradise website, Chastity and Pegging. And I think that your cock's restriction during pegging brings the pain and pleasure aspect into the play, and being locked up for a while before pegging will make your prostate full and pegging that much more pleasurable. So he wrote back and thanked me for the link, and then went on to say, Missy never ceases to amaze me. After she had me put the cage on for the first time, we had a brief conversation. Then she asked me to get used to my newly governed state and left me so she could make coffee and have breakfast. You may remember that we are dealing with a very long-distance relationship with an 8-hour time difference. The conversation, both before and after she left me to my own devices, was all about how I felt. It wasn't erotic or provocative. It was entirely about how I felt and ensuring that this was as healthy as could be. She's incredible. As a caged male who had waited patiently, it would have been easy to pander to more obvious goals and experiences. Instead, I was once more offered that safest of places. We both recognize that as I have the keys, that it is essentially the honor system. We also both recognize that it is an interesting dynamic to explore. I have now had a few experiences of wearing it out in public. It's more nerve-wracking than erotic right now. Missy genuinely seems to enjoy the idea of me being socially uncomfortable, the fear of being discovered, of someone noticing it. But most importantly, she seems to be enjoying the fact that I have submitted to this exact situation. She's growing more confident as she is discovering any dominant tendencies that she may possess. We have had one explicitly sexual play session to date. I almost had to use our safe word, as I experienced the physical constraints whilst being instructed to touch myself whilst caged. It's a fine line just now. I was able to do exactly as she commanded, and my subsequent release was extraordinary. But damn, I was unprepared for just how uncomfortable I would be. I visit Missy next week. We're both excited by the chance to explore our new dynamic in the flesh, as it were. Fortunately, I know that we'll be sensitive and considerate. I love hearing about the adventures of Scott and Missy, especially because this is a long-distance relationship. So, Scott, thank you so much for writing in and telling this story. The way that you two approach exploring new things is so delicate and so thoughtful, you know? You're taking all these things into consideration. You want it to be as healthy as possible. You know, you want to make sure you're both feeling good about it. And I love all the communication that you two did in preparation for this. And yes, I have heard that it is definitely uncomfortable when you get excited when you're in that cage. So what I'm really interested in hearing, which was not included in your email, and since then you've been to see her, is what I'm assuming, because it's been so long since I've done a podcast, is what it felt like being pegged, if you had the experience of being pegged while you were in the cage. I'm very interested to hear what that felt like, what it was like for you. So please feel free to report in, but definitely thanks for writing in and giving us another view of the whole chastity thing and how it interacts with pegging eventually, but also how to approach it in a relationship, cage or no cage. Thanks again. Here's another email. Hi, Ruby. My wife and I have just begun pegging, and while she didn't enjoy it too much the first couple of times, the last time was awesome, and she really enjoyed it, wanting to get off afterwards as she said it was hot. My concern, though, is in between pegging sessions. We have set Sunday nights as our peg night. Prior to pegging, and until recently, we have been shagging like rabbits, having the best sex we have ever had, more often than we have ever had. I have been performing better than ever, not finishing quicker than I hoped, and being able to hold out and keep it rock hard. For some reason, in the last 2 weeks, I can get nice and hard, but then it just goes. I want to do it, and what I am seeing and feeling is hot as hell, but he just doesn't want to play, no matter what we do. Could this have anything to do with pegging, or is it just in my head? Any help or advice would be awesome. I understand if you don't have time for counseling, though I just don't know who else to ask. Cheers, Concerned. So a month went by before I responded to this, and I responded via email. My apologies, waited too long to answer this, and I'm wondering if your situation resolved itself. Give me an update. Erections back to normal or no? And he writes back. Hi, Ruby. No problem. Not really. Sometimes awesome. Sometimes I struggle to keep it going. We had a setback in the pegging as well. The wife thought that something had gone really gross and had to stop, fair enough, even though it hadn't. Then she told me she didn't really like it all that much, and we decided that once a week on a set night was too much pressure. I honestly didn't think we were going to do much more of it at all, but then one night she said let's do it, and do it we did. However, then I was so worried about her not enjoying herself that I found it hard to enjoy myself. Who thought it would be so hard? Laugh out loud. Sorry to put this on you, I know you must get this a lot. Do you think I might be better served with an Eneros toy and just do normal or go with a Fieldo so that she might get a bit more out of it? At the moment, we have a Jacques Harness and a Fun Factory Tiger Stub dildo, which is awesome, but doesn't do much for her. My wife really got her groove on the other night, though, and absolutely smashed me, and I'm really disappointed I didn't relax and get into it as much as I should have. Cheers, Concerned. I wrote him back and said, thanks for responding. I'm pretty sure that the erectile issue is in your head. There's no physiological reason pegging should affect your erections. As a matter of fact, many times the reverse is true in terms of harder erections that last longer after prostate massage. I suspect that since she is not totally down with the pegging, and it's new for you both, that a part of you is distracted, even if you aren't pegging. Once you have the pegging formula worked out, I'm going to bet that you don't have any issues with staying hard, or perhaps it's already resolved. As far as when you are pegging, I totally get what you mean about being concerned about her enjoyment, so you couldn't really let go. So first, let's address her pleasure so that you can relax a bit more and she can enjoy it more, hopefully. To give her more stimulation, my first idea is the Fuse Wild Dildo. It's about the same size as the Tiger, and it has a place for a bullet vibe that is going to provide great clitoral stimulation. She can put it in the Jacques and leave the base of it sticking all the way through. Don't cover it up with the cloth flaps. The bullet vibe I recommend is the WeVibe Tango. It's the very best to combine with it. Far more powerful than the cheap bullet vibes that usually come with toys. It's also rechargeable, waterproof, and it's got 8 different vibe patterns. The second idea I have, if she's a woman who really enjoys G-spot stimulation, then a double might be just the thing for her. But the Fieldo is definitely not the best one. The Fuse Tango is definitely far better for a whole number of reasons. And the same bullet vibe, the WeVibe Tango, for clitoral stimulation at the same time as the G-spot stimulation, is the ticket with a double. So those are the two ideas I have as far as her receiving more pleasure. Now, your description of her thinking there had been a mess that wasn't made me suspect that maybe there was a smell and she thought it had gotten messy and then it hadn't. So if this is indeed what happened, and even if it didn't, you need to do everything you can do to ensure that you're clean. And when you get that down, you'll be able to relax into everything, knowing that there's like no possibility of a mess. So make sure you do the clean out, but also change your diet a couple of days before. Eat fresh food instead of processed food. Go light on the meat. No alcohol, sugar, dairy, fried food, or junk food. And then the day of, don't eat much after your morning meal. You don't have to do exactly that, but you get the idea. The stuff that we shouldn't be eating is what makes our shit stink, basically. Once you get used to doing this method, you'll have it handled, but you're still learning right now. So the part of your message that I really loved was when you said, my wife really got her groove on the other night, though, and absolutely smashed me. So yay, because this tells me there's a part of her that does enjoy it. And even if she just thinks it's okay, she's still willing to do it for your pleasure. So make sure and return the favor, give her equal time and pleasure. And he responded, thanks for the reply. I will try that first dildo you suggested. It seems like a plan. I have spoken to her about it, and she seems to think it will help. As for my irregularities, they have sorted themselves out. In fact, I've become quite the beast, and so has she. I think this whole thing, while a bit scary for both of us at first, has made us realize that we are both perverts, and we are more comfortable with what we talk about, want, and do in bed. All I have done is just not stress when it does play up, and find another way to get excited while making her feel sure that it has nothing to do with her. And we have come through it well. We haven't really pegged for a while, but I did buy an Eneros, and that has been fun a couple of times. The one time we did plan on pegging, it finished early with a prostate massage blowjob with a little dildo. Good times. Again, thanks for your help, and you are welcome to use this on the podcast. Yay! It makes me happy when stories turn out so well. I wanted you guys to hear the back and forth because this was a whole process. And in the beginning, as you heard, this guy definitely had some erection problems that he was thinking, okay, the only thing that's changed is I've been doing the pegging, so what the hell, right? Maybe they're related. But they did sort themselves out. As Dan Savage likes to say, erections are like Tinkerbell, you just have to believe. And I can't relate, not having a real penis. I only have fake ones. So kudos to you for wading it through and becoming the beast again. How lovely, becoming the beast. And she's a beast too. So now you're two beasts in bed having a lot of fun. So kudos to you guys for working through it, for communicating, for finding what works, for opening up to each other. Great communication. You did it so well. Congratulations, and thanks for sharing all that with us. Really appreciate it. And another email. Hi, Ruby. Thank you for your dedication and the positive energy you give to pegging. Yesterday, while my wife and I were having PIV sex, and for my listeners who don't know what that is penis in vagina, she said we should rig up something so she could fuck my ass with a dildo while we are having missionary PIV sex. Her talking about this as we fucked got us both extremely turned on, and soon we were both coming hard. Is there any type of harness or handle or bracket to enable my wife to thrust a dildo in and out of my ass while I fuck her? Our bodies don't allow her to reach down far enough to manipulate the dildo properly. Looked at fun one, but don't think it's long enough. Have searched the internet, but have been unable to find anything. Help. Thank you. Christian, I do not know of anything. No one has ever asked me this before. How fascinating. What an interesting question. The thing is that you're kind of upside down. It's not going to happen in a missionary position. But if you picture like in a 69, then you've got things in the right position, kind of. So if she had a strap-on harness on and scooted it up high so that it was on her pubic bone area, which frees up her vagina so that your penis can go in her vagina, right? And you turned around. So let's say she's laying on her back and you are in a position like you would be for 69, but you scoot down so that your pelvis is matching up with her pelvis, and you slide your cock into her vagina, and then her strap-on can go in your ass. That might work. I don't know if anybody's tried it before, but any kind of a device that can enable it to happen in missionary, I am not knowing it. If anybody out there's heard about anything like this, let me know. It's an intriguing idea, and I see why it got you so hot, because it's kind of a cool thing to think about it happening simultaneously, but I unfortunately don't know of anything. Here's an idea, though. Tantus sells dildos with handles on the end. There's three of them. There's the Goddess, the Echo, and the Anaconda. And those I have listed in increasing size, length, width, you know, that kind of thing. So check those out, because it's possible that while you are fucking her, she might be able to use one of those, because they're quite long. They're really lovely for fucking yourself or her fucking herself. But I think, depending on your body sizes, that they might be long enough for her to do a reach around while you're fucking her and fuck you too by holding that there. So check those out. Again, they're the Echo, the Goddess, and the Anaconda. Now, they sell those dildos by that name, but you're going to want to just go to Tantus and put in the search term handle. So there you go. And let us know if it works, because I really don't know of anything else that fits what you're looking for. So that's really the only thing that I can think of. If anybody else listening to this has any other ideas, let us know. Thanks for writing in, and thanks for sharing that hot experience with us. Here's another email. Hey, Ruby, I was wondering which dildos you would recommend for prostate stimulation. There are so many choices, it's overwhelming. Thanks, Steve. I was also wondering if you could recommend a good position to achieve a prostate orgasm while pegging. Thanks again, Steve. So, Steve, let's see. That is a big question. Like you say, there are so many choices, it's overwhelming. I did record podcast number 102, which outlines all of the different questions and answers and considerations when you choose equipment. So let me go through some of the basics for you in terms of choosing a dildo for prostate stimulation. First, you need to determine how sensitive your prostate is. You can do this by just simple experimentation. You will probably have learned if your partner puts her fingers in you or a toy, and it's not a curved toy, and it just kind of goes back and forth, and you are just going through the moon with pleasure, which I'm thinking that's probably not the case if you're asking about the best ones for prostate stimulation. Anyway, if that is the case, then your prostate would be very sensitive. And again, I'm going to use the car metaphor. That would be like a drive-by, okay? You're just driving by with that dildo by your prostate, and if you are feeling a lot of pleasure, that's awesome. That means your prostate is very sensitive. If you take a little bit more pressure and say she's either holding a dildo or using her fingers and putting a little bit of pressure on your prostate, but not a lot, then that is more like a sideswipe, okay? There's some contact there. There's definitely some contact, and it's not a really firm pressure, but it's some. Then you are kind of in the middle. And so then if she puts a lot of pressure on there, let's say you have a curved dildo or you have something like the Enjoy Pure Wand and you've experimented with that and you really like firm pressure, well, then that's more like a head-on, okay? So there's your car metaphor. So there are toys that will facilitate these different things. Probably the best one for head-on is the Tantus Curve, named for its shape, and it's also a firm dildo, okay? So that one is great for the head-on thing. So another choice to use for the head-on with a smaller diameter would be the Tantus Sport. It kind of has a bent end on it that works really well for prostate stimulation. So the Tantus Sport comes in two lengths. One is 5.5 inches long, and that would be great if both of you are very, very slender, if you have like no butt, and if she can easily reach your prostate with her fingers. The Tantus Long is better for couples that have some extra weight on that would prevent them from deeper penetration, and or she can't reach your prostate with her fingers because it's located a little bit further back. So those are good for not only the head-on, but for a kind of a medium sensitivity, because all you need to do is use those and change the angle a little bit. Plus, the firmness is not quite the same. It's not as firm as the Tantus Curve. The Tantus Curve is kind of a no-choice thing. It is in there, and it is going to be hitting against that prostate hard no matter what. So those are the toys that I would recommend. And as far as a good position to achieve a prostate orgasm while pegging, well, that differs for different people. And the thing is that you can change your angle just like you would do if you were doing regular penis and vagina sex and you kind of change your angle a little bit to fuck her in a different position and she's swooning all of a sudden because you're hitting like that right spot. Well, she needs to do that sort of moving around and changing the angle and things to try and hit your prostate better as well. And one of the ways that I do that sometimes is I have a guy laying face down over a couple of pillows, or ideally like a liberator cushion, because those are awesome. Puts his butt right up in the air and makes it really accessible. It's awesome and it's so comfortable. And then I lay over the top of him. And so it's comfortable because I can lay my whole body down on his, so I'm not having to hold myself up. And it's just a movement on my hips to fuck him. So if I just kind of move up a little bit, like scoot up towards his head a little bit in that direction, that changes the angle of the fucking so that it's more directly onto the prostate. That's one way that I do it. I have heard also very good things about just standing and then bending over the side of a bed and her standing behind you. But of course, you need to have bodies that match up in terms of leg length and ability to do that. So if that works for you, great. If it doesn't, well, you have to try other things. But also, there are factors that can help you to have a prostate orgasm that have nothing to do with position. And the ones that I know about are abstinence for a while, so you don't get to come for a number of days before the pegging. And you also are edging for a number of days before the pegging. I've talked about that in other podcasts as well. Edging is bringing yourself right up to the edge of orgasm and not allowing yourself to come. And what this does is it's going to really increase the pressure on your prostate, fill that prostate up with prostatic fluid, and make it much, much more sensitive. So when the time comes and you get pegged, you have much more of a reaction, ideally. You feel more pleasure, you feel everything more intensely. And let's see, one last thing I forgot to mention is two things, actually. The first one is clenching your sphincter muscles can increase the amount of pleasure that you feel while you're getting pegged. I don't know if that's a timing thing, sort of like, you know, it's feeling better and better and better, and then you clench your muscles and then it kicks you over the top. But I know that this has been talked about, is the clenching of the sphincter muscles. So you're kind of gripping that dildo as it slides in and out of you and see how that feels. And last but not least is the unusual method of using an allergy medication with pseudoephedrine in it to effectively give yourself erectile dysfunction so that all of the emphasis and all of the focus is then on your prostate and not your dick. So those are the things that I know to try and help you have a prostate orgasm. And good luck with that. Let us know how it goes. And get a dildo that is fun for your prostate. I will put all of those links in the Linkorama for everyone listening to all this stuff I've been talking about. And I think that wraps it up for today. You can find my work at peggingparadise.com, where I have a blog, my podcast, my erotica, and that forum. Pegging101.com offers informational articles with no kink attached. My podcasts are available through a variety of podcast downloader apps. You can find a sampling of those under the tab Follow on my website for both Android and iPhones. You can also stream my podcast directly from my website if you'd like. The Follow tab also has links for you to subscribe to my blog, follow me on Twitter, and check out my Facebook page. If you order some new sexy toys from enticeme.com, Please remember to use the coupon code WRITER for 15% off of your purchase. Send your questions to ruby@peggingparadise.com. No question is too simple, too silly, or too strange. All my listeners are going to learn along with you, so don't be shy. Send me that question to my mailbox or call me at 805-500-6544. Thanks for downloading and listening, everyone. You rock. Happy pegging.